All right, guys, we are back here with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
A Shot of Lime production.
Today, we have a special guest, a man that will be gracing us with his presence in the octagon next weekend at the Sphere. A man that needs no introduction. The most colorful man right now in the octagon. One of the most dynamic and, right now, the current bantamweight champion of the world, Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Boys, you guys know I'm a very, very busy man. I'll keep this short. I came here for two reasons. One, to praise you, Kamaru. You're an absolute legend. And two, Henry, how'd you let Aljo take you down so easy? You're welcome.
Did we lose him? First and foremost,
I think he did that. Hey, he got us, Kamaru. He didn't just do that to me. He did that to us.
Hey, but first of all, Sean O'Malley is going to be fighting Merab Dulashvili next weekend at the Sphere. This is a humongous event. This has kind of been built up as that. And I expect it to deliver. Right now, Sean is one of the guys that I really love to watch. I really love to follow right now in MMA because he's one of those young guys, the newer generation of guys that just knows how to completely just he's rolling with the punches of everything that's happening.
Yeah, but I don't think you get what I'm telling you, Kamaru. Like, he's trolling us. He came on here just to do that, and he's out.
I guess he said what he needed to say and he's out. So if that's what he needed to say, then that's what he said.
But can I tell you something? I thought about this too. Like, once he loses to Merab, because I do believe he's going to lose to Merab, fucking the next fight that's up is me and him. You know? Like, Davis is gonna fight Peter Yan. Umar's already fighting for the belt. The only dude that's really left in that whole division is myself. You know what I'm saying? The next best thing is going to be me. You know, yeah, granted, I lost to the former champion. I lost to the soon-to-be pending world champion. But what can we say, dude? I think it's, I think after this fight, I know that Merab is going to get this win. I know a little bit of O'Malley's fight camp and how it's been going. And I think he's fucking back.
I still, if I had to pick on which side I'm leaning, I just think Sean is very, Merab Dulashvili is completely, undeniably relentless with his attacks and trying to get his hands on you and drag you down and just beat on you. But Sean O'Malley, if there is a guy that can evade and be able to find his shot, I think it's Sean O'Malley. But Henry, we just dealt with a little bit of some difficulties there.
Actually, at the beginning, I was like, really? Sean's really going to come out? But he's like all these other YouTubers, Kush. You know, they want to get the sound bite. I think he's still hurt when I call them Precious. You know, a lot of the names that I've been calling him. Hey, Precious. Hey, Sean. I need a tuna. Roll the damn tape. I think he's still a little. I think he was shook. I think at that time, I literally became public enemy number one. So I'm not surprised. I figured some things like this were going to happen. But you know what I love about it, though, too, Kush, is the fact that he loses this fight with Merab Dulashvili. I do believe, and I am planning on going to flyweight. Unless, I'm going to make it public here, too, guys. I am planning on going to flyweight. I've started my diet. I'm going to do everything right. And the only reason why I even want to do that, because the more disciplined that I have to become, the more I got to pretty much, reach that new height of discipline. But there's one fight, and I'm going to go back to this. I think the fight between me and Sean O'Smelly, Ronald McDonald, makes a lot of sense, dude. And I think we could do it here in Phoenix. That's the only fight at 135 pounds. And that would get me quicker to the title shot at 135 pounds. So I would still love that. But that being said, he doesn't know how to get off of bottom. He's having trouble. I've had three training partners that have gone out there. That's all told me the same shit. Just like when I'm injured, he always knows. He's tweeted out. I was like, hey, when I lost to Merab Dulashvili, he knew that I was injured. You know, that's what happens when you live in the same city. It's people know other people that will say shit. So he knew that my groin was torn. He didn't go back and look at the Twitters. He's or you can go back and look at when I lost to Marab. He's like, hey, man, that wasn't Henry. Henry was, and, you know, Henry had a torn groin. And obviously, you knew Kamaru. But that being said, dude, I think it's a match made in heaven for a guy like Marab. He just needs to be careful in those two rounds. And as the fight goes on, I could see Marab Dvalishvili really fucking taking him out.
That's a lot said there. But as far as going into,
am I a snitch Kamaru?
But no, I Henry, I would have to, based on what I've seen from Sean, he just fought a 5-round fight. He took Chito Vera to 5 rounds and was still piecing him up all throughout the whole fight. As much as I love Chito, he just didn't put his best foot forward, and Sean had his way. And I understand.
Grappling. It's might as well fight Muay Thai.
Okay, but would you consider Aljamain Sterling one of the best grapplers in that one of the top grapplers in that bantamweight/featherweight division?
Yeah. He's proven that. He's able to take
Yes, and Aljamain can get him down. And he was able to find that shot with Aljamain. Before that, had we ever seen Aljamain sniped with a good shot like that? Really never seen that. And he was able to find that shot. Now, you're comparing that to a guy like Marab, who Marlon Moraes found the shot. You found a good shot against him. You don't think Sean O'Malley will be able to find that shot?
He can. I mean, and that's the key for him. Could he find that shot early and put him out? But if he doesn't, yeah, I will say this, and that will give Sean credit in that sense. He is a sniper. He is super long. But I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. Unless Marab gets crazy, unless he says what he says he's going to do and stay on his feet, then that's just not going to be good for him. You know, because Marab, I think Marab's greatest weapon, I mean, I think Sean's greatest weapon now is that knee. It's the same knee that he caught Chito Vera with. All the other stuff is just like sniping, but his movement gets him tired, things like that. But regardless, if he is able to, if more likely, the probability is I'm hoping this motherfucker loses. Because now there's showdown between me and him, and you know what, we can settle it the best way, and that's fighting, that's doing it. Yes. Here in our city, who's the king of AZ? And yes. we can get down, dude. That's all there is to it. But like I said, Kush, I go back and I tell you this, like, I had a feeling I was gonna pull some shit like that, because he's just hurt, dude, because I went in deep on his ass. You know, calling him out, like, you can see all my tweets. You can see all my shit that I've done.
Well, so I wasn't that aware of all of that, but I could see it, because when you're in the mix, when you're, like I've said it countless times, when you're in the mix, you're an artist and you're going to be sensitive about what you're doing. You're going to be sensitive about your craft. And so when someone starts continuously throwing salt in the game like that, yes, you're going to take offense in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So I see it. I completely see it now. If that's what you've been doing to him all along. So, of course, he came on here just to do that. And I wasn't aware of that. I mean, I like the kid. I think he's one of the better. I think he's one of the leaders of the way of this new wave of guys that are coming in with him. Ilya Topuria. We can have all these Bo Nichols, all these young guys that are eventually going to turn into superstars. So
yeah, but what do you say? Are we chopped liver now, dude? What's up?
I think we took the game to a different level. You had guys like the Horace Gracie and the Shamrocks that came in and they revolutionized the sport. And then you had guys like the Rampage Jackson, the Shogun, and the Rashad Evans that came in, and they showed you a different side of the sport as well. And then you had guys like yourself, myself, DC, and these guys that came in and changed it. Now you have a new wave of guys like the Sean O'Malley, the Ilya Topuria, you know, that come in and they get their turn. Obviously, I names like Volkanovski, Israel Adesanya, all these are big, big names as well. But then you get guys like him that come in. This is a new wave that we're seeing. And so when you're there, we all know you're sensitive about what you're doing. When someone starts talking or poking fun or trying to throw stones at your glass, at your house, you're going to feel a certain type of way. So I get it. I don't like the fact that that just took place because I really had some questions that I wanted to ask him. I wanted to know how his fight camp is going. I wanted to know how he's preparing for, what's his name? Merab. Because like you said, you're 100% sold. You think Merab is going to get it done.
Yeah, Merab. If Merab is able to just right here, keep his hands up. Like that's all you have to do, Merab.
That's all?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. He's going to fatigue himself. Trust me, dude. I studied this dude. This dude be watching my breakdowns too. You know, he's going to fatigue himself because he'll punch. A lot of the movement that he does do, like he still doesn't have that 5-round threshold, in particular when it comes to actually grappling. Remember, Kush, I'm good at some of this shit. Yeah, some of these times I do get it wrong, but when it comes to my actual division, okay, right. I really study the game, but it's what it is, man. I think trolling, I would have loved to have gone on there and really kind of debated him without having a one another. But it's it's what it is, dude. I think Sean's just like, I'm going to give you an example, dude. And I get it. I get why he's all pissed. He was like, yeah, Henry Cejudo only has $20 to his name. He's like, well, I actually have 27. I used to have 29 once I got done with your girl. So this is some of the trolling that I was doing. Obviously, it's all fun and games, you know, but I can see where a lot of this shit just, you know, fucking tugged his heartstrings. So
I get it. But anyways, we'll have his opponent Merab on the show a little bit later. But first, Henry, I want to get through the breakdown of this card. It's going to be a fantastic card. Dana and everyone and their mom has said this, that it's going to be fantastic. It's a first. I think Dana said it's one and done. This is the first time it's ever going to be done at the Sphere. And so this is it. And obviously, let's not forget, they're also going up against Canelo Alvarez and Edgar Berlanga in that fight, which will be taking place at the T-Mobile, and this will be taking place at the Sphere. So this is going to be a fantastic weekend in Vegas. But let's get through this card right now. We already, of course, the main event, Sean O'Malley taking on Merab Dulashvili. We already know that's going to be a fantastic fight. Henry, based on your breakdown, you said that all Merab has to do is go here and just pressure him and let Sean O'Malley punch himself out. I personally think it'll be a little different. I think Sean O'Malley has shown that he can go five. But of course, in order to be, I think there's room to maybe fatigue him if you're able to get him down, make him work to get back up to his feet. I think Merab definitely has a chance because we all know at the end of the day, the greatest equalizer in a fight is fatigue. Fatigue makes cowards of us all, every one of us. And so if Merab is able to go in there, impose his will, put on that pressure, and is able to get Sean O'Malley to punch himself out, I think Merab does have a good chance of winning this. But personally, if I had to pick, I love Merab, but Sean O'Malley has shown me all the signs of him being the superstar and continuing on that quest. So I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley on this fight. Henry, we don't even need to ask you.
I got Merab Dulashvili by stoppage, dude. Maybe in the later fourth. Maybe like fourth or fifth round. Maybe even the fifth, dude. He's going to be relentless on him. I think as the later the fight goes on, you know, fuck, dude. I wish I could run this shit back with Merab because I really wanted him to get me 100%. But he has a fucking gas tank, dude. And I just think, but if he doesn't keep his hands up, he's, you know, he's going to get put out, dude. Like if he gets stupid with his hands, I think the biggest caution is going to be that first round.
Here's your pick, Henry. Your pick.
Merab Dulashvili.
We got underdog picks coming through. So
Merab Dulashvili, let's say fourth to fifth round stoppage, 100%. I got him by stoppage.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be, so once the stats come out, it's going to be, I'm going to go lower on fight time for Merab Dulashvili.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Away just yet. All right. Welcome. We're going to move on to our co-main event of the evening. We've got the champion, women's flyweight champion. We've got Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko. These are two women that I love to watch. Two women are fantastic fighters, great kind of in their approach to where Valentina, I feel, is a bit more of a complete stand-up fighter because she's got the spin kick. She got the spinning back fist. She's got the great southpaw, just a balanced attack of kicking and punching, has head kick knockouts, has complete grappling knockouts. Well, grappling finishes, not knockouts. Excuse me. But Alexa Grasso, I think, is just one of those fighters who is, and I'm such a big fan of Alexa because I remember actually meeting her when she first got, after first getting into the UFC early on. And I think that was maybe 2015. And we were at the UFC Athlete Summit, I believe. Was that 2015? 2016, yes. And we were at the UFC Athlete Retreat. And I had an opportunity to spend some time with her, just talk to her and get to know her a little bit while we were waiting. I think we were headed to the airport or something. But yeah, that's when I just realized like she's always had excellent boxing. But over the time, she starts to put the jiu-jitsu and the grappling with it. And you can see it in her fights. Her improvement just vast, continuously just improve each and every fight to where taking out someone like Valentina Shevchenko, which at one point, me and Valentina was battling for who were going to be the first to get all the rubies around our belts because we were defending and defending and defending. And Alexa Grasso came through and she spoiled the party. So this is a fantastic fight. This is the third time they will be fighting. The last one ended in a draw. And so I think this one, I'm looking at a finish. I think one of these girls is definitely going to have to go for broke to potentially get that finish to just stamp this and solidify it and end this rivalry. What do you think, Henry?
Yeah, I think the person that really needs to make the adjustment, Alexa's not going to change. She's super heavy on her feet. She's got heavy hands. The person that really has to make this, that has to make the adjustments and play the lateral game. A lot what Rose did with Tracy Cortez is Valentina. You know, could Valentina use the lateral movement, use a little bit of her experience to really just point fight her? But the more that Alexa is able to stalk her and press her and do X, Y, and Z, the more that the fight's probably going to go more towards the Alexa Grasso side. But if Valentina Shevchenko could make those adjustments through movement, and make it very problematic for the heavy stance boxer, I think it should fall in the line of Valentina. So, but if she fights Alexa Grasso, if she allows Alexa Grasso to kind of press in and keep it on the feet, then you got to go with the heavy hitter. But I think Valentina's too smart, dude. I'm kind of edging out Valentina just based on movement. And based on her experience, but could she do it? And obviously too, Kush, it's September 14th through Mexican Independence Day. I felt like Valentina won that last fight. I don't know where that judge got the 10-8 round, but that was able to screw Valentina to give it a draw. But it is what it is, and it's what it is too. But I think if there's anybody that I might have to favor, I'm probably gonna favor Valentina Shevchenko.
I don't see too much changing in this fight because I think Alexa Grasso continues to do her thing. I think she has very, very quick hands, quick combination. And she knows now that I can hurt Valentina enough to close the distance, to get a hold of her. And she showed her grappling is A1 now, to where back in the day, I would consider Valentina having the edge in the grappling. For this, if I had to pick, I'm going to lean towards Alexa Grasso staying a champion here in a split decision. What do you think, Henry?
Yeah, well, I'm you know what? I'm gonna go vice versa, man. I think if Valentina can make those adjustments, because she is the fighter and the person that actually has to make those adjustments, if she can use, again, it's all a corner, she can stick to the game plan. If she can use those lateral movements to be able to touch and tap and pretty much point fight, because it's not like Valentina has crazy power either, and then eventually go in there and sneak in those takedowns like she has been, I can see her may potentially win this fight by decision. But if she does allow Alexa to just stalk, I think Alexa's at that point where she's already been in there with Valentina a couple of times. So she knows that Valentina really can't hurt her with the hands, but she does need to be careful with the takedowns. The person that needs to make the adjustments, if she does follow that game plan because she's a lot more gifted, I'm going to have to go with Valentina Shevchenko by decision.
Okay, so You know, Henry, it is also Mexican Independence Day, so.
And that's what you gotta be careful. That's what you gotta be careful.
I don't know what you're trying to say, bro, my brother. I don't know what you're trying to say. But now we move on to the next fight. We've got Brian Ortega taking on Diego Lopez. This is a fight that was originally scheduled earlier this year, but unfortunately, Brian Ortega was out due to illness. And Diego Lopez, like a gangster, chose to take on somebody, and not just anybody, took on the man, 50K, Dan Ige, on a couple hours' notice, and was able to get the decision on that. That's that. If that's not gangster, I don't know what is. And there's only a few people that I know that are willing to take risks like that, and those people usually end up at the top. And so this fight right here, if Diego Lopez is able to get in there and take out a veteran, a guy as experienced and as tough as Brian Ortega, I think Diego Lopez finds himself on the short list of challengers who will be challenging for that featherweight title.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, so what are you saying? So you think Diego's going to edge it out?
It is a 3-round fight, which is a sprint. It's tough to decide, but I think... Yes, I think Diego can pull it out, because I think he just continues to get more and more confident in his abilities, the more fights that he's able to get underneath him. But in that last fight, I think for someone like Brian Ortega, it was actually even better, because Brian Ortega now got a chance to sit back and see how Diego Lopez fared throughout that fight. And Dan Ige was coming on strong towards the end of that fight. So I think, if anything, it gave Brian Ortega a little bit more confidence, knowing that, hey, if I could weather the storm early, I could potentially switch up on this guy later on in later rounds and get him out of there. But I'm going to go with Diego Lopez. I think it's a 3-round fight, and I think it's a sprint, and I think he's just a little bit more youthful. And I think he might be able to pull off a split decision.
Yeah, but 33 years old, dude, I feel like 33 is your freaking prime. That's the center of your prime.
I agree, so, but Brian Ortega has been in there for a long time. He's no young pup. He's a veteran inside that.
But there's also something about Brian now kind of, you know, finding faith and, you know, getting back with his family. Obviously, you know, we were connected at one point because he was dating Tracy Cortez, so... I had a chance to really be around him, and it looks like he's in a good point in his life where he really wants to do things for the love of God, dude. So I think that makes a fighter dangerous, dude. I mean, who would I want to win? I would say Diego Lopez, because obviously, you know, I like him. I know both of these cats. I mean, probably, I don't know if Brian still likes me. I don't know, but stylistically,
why would Brian not like you?
I don't know, that whole Tracy Cortez thing. I don't know what happened.
Did you have to do with that? You ain't nothing to do with that, right?
No, but you know how sometimes we have friends and there's a breakup to makeup. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know. Like, I have no ill will, but I will say this about Brian. He's skilled, man. I mean, he's only lost to Volkanovski, and he's only lost to really Max Holloway. The time that he did lose to Yair Rodriguez, it was because of that, you know, he ended up, you know, he had to get shoulder.
He hurt his shoulder, but then he got that one back, didn't he?
But then he got it back, and I do believe that he's going to bring the wrestling in, and I think I can see him just catching the victory just based on wrestling. And this is nothing against Diego Lopez or anything like that, because I would love for him to win. But if you're asking me, more likely who's favorite to maybe possibly win this fight, I mean, I got to go with the vet, dude, and Brian Ortega, man.
I like it. I think you hit something. The nail on the head there. Brian Ortega definitely is a veteran inside that octagon, and he has a lot of ways to win. And I'm just going off of just activity here and just the youth, and as aggressive as Diego Lopez has been, that's just the only reason I edge him out here in this fight. But this is a very, very good fight. Both guys are very dangerous. Both guys can end the fight, whether it's striking or whether it's grappling. So this is probably the fight this is going to be my fight of the night to watch. This is what I'm very, very excited about. Obviously, the main event as well, the co-main, but this fight right here, I really have my eyes on. But then we're moving on to the next fight. We've got Esteban Ribavich That's the Argentinian. Actually trains down here in South Florida at Kill Cliff. And I get a chance to watch this guy train. And, man, can this guy kick. And he's taking on Daniel Zelhuber, who is 15-1. It is Mexico versus Argentina. Man, this is a fantastic fight. This is a very, very good fight. Henry, what are you thinking? They're both young. They're both aggressive. They're both youthful. Esteban coming off that crazy, that highlight reel knockout. Man, this is a fantastic fight right here, Henry.
Yeah, I think if there's a fight of the night, it might be this one, dude. It might be this one. Yeah, because I know that Argentina comes out swinging, but I also know too that Daniel is very motivated and he's very big for that weight class, dude. His limbs, and he's gotten better. I know that they've invested a lot of money in him. A big shout out to Cesar Gomez out in Mexico. And he's been giving these guys like the best of the best, traveling from traveling to nutrition to getting him a house out there. So I just feel like, yeah, he does have one loss, but I think he can make that up, dude. I got Daniel winning. I don't know how it's going to end up. I think it might go decision because I can't count that Argentinian out. But I got Zelhuber winning by decision or potentially knockout.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with Esteban watching this guy train. And watching this young man just kind of come into his own, I think the good thing and the big thing about him that maybe a lot of people might not see yet is what I do watch him train with his coaches. Shout out to Sean Soriano and Henry Hoof, and his striking coaches down here in Killcliff. And they really pour into him to finish his combinations. And the good thing with him is he has kicks that come out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. And when I say nowhere, I mean out of nowhere. He throws combinations to where you normally won't see a kick, where a kick shouldn't happen, but somehow he's able to get the leg up there. It's like Austin Powers Gold Members, where the feet just come up out of nowhere and wrap around your neck. So I'm going to go with him here on this fight. I think Esteban gets it done. Yeah, and I'm going to go with this could be potentially a knockout here. But moving on, we go to our next fight. Ronaldo Rodriguez taking on O'Day Osborne. This is a big fight as well. So this fight has implications. O'Day Osborne had some momentum there, but then he was, I believe, was stopped by, I forget who it was in his last fight. Yes.
Okay, so he's Jamaican, man. You going for Jamaica? What's up, Kamaru?
He was stopped in his last fight. No, I haven't picked the guy yet. Can a brother pick? Jesus. But O'Day Osborne is coming off two losses here. He's looking to get back on the horse here. And that's dangerous when a guy has his back up against the wall like that. It's dangerous for him to go in and fight because he knows I need to get a win here. So I'm looking for him to do whatever he needs to do to get the win. But, man, Rodriguez is a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse. Look at that. Submission. Doctor stoppage. Submission. And O'Day Osborne has lost back-to-back fights by submission. So we're going to be looking for a grappling affair here for Ronaldo Rodriguez. He's definitely looking to get this fight to the ground and use his grappling to potentially get the submission. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go with O'Day Osborne for the upset. I think he could tick, 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 tick. Move around. Keep the fight standing and maybe scrape out a split decision.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to go for he's known as Lazy Boy, man. And I know this dude's got hands of his own. I can see him actually putting this. I can see him putting Osborne out. This dude's got hands, man. This dude was a sparring partner for David Haney. I've had a chance to work with him firsthand. The dude is good. And the other thing that you got to remember too, Kush, is he's fighting on Mexican Independence Day, dude.
We might be seeing
10-6 rounds, 10-7 rounds, dude, for the Mexicans. So if I'm looking to win, and you know what? Because it seems like all of our picks are going to be opposite. Now we have to put an egg on the line, Kush. And don't put your tail between your legs, dude. I think because a lot of our fight card here is so different that I think the winner, whoever picks more of the right opponents of actually winning, I think there should be a cracked egg on the line, dude. You know, best of five.
Best of five, and maybe
five eggs. What's your take on that?
Well, I love eggs, so I ain't wasting five eggs. You know, maybe one before I put it on the stove. Crack it, you know, let it drip a little bit. Drip, drip, pause, then put it on the stove. But okay, I'll think about that, Henry. We got to make this fun, dude.
I think Underdog would love it. Our producers would love it.
I don't feel like there's great implications on the line here to put an egg on it. That's hardcore. Tracy Cortez was your partner. You knew her.
I'm not gonna play this game no more, Kush. So is it a yes or a no? Is it a yes or a no? And that's it.
We're moving on.
Come on, dude.
Feature prelims. Here we've got Irene Aldana, one of my favorites as well. Female fighter. This is a big one here. Irene Aldana taking on Norma Dumont. Irene's hands, I think, are second to none in that division. She's got power. She's got great combination. And she's got that Mexican hard-nosed fighter. She comes to fight. So I'm going to go with Irene. I just don't think there's too many women that are taking her out. So I'm going to go with Irene Aldana.
Yeah, she's probably favored 100% just because of the hands. But if Norma could use a little bit of that movement, obviously Norma only has two losses to... You know, she's a little shorter. Obviously, she's a little younger than Irene. And I know she's coming down from featherweight to bantamweight. It's going to be her first time cutting the weight. That's the only thing. I mean, I would like to see a girl like Norma. You know, we've talked in the past. I think I've been able to kind of even help her with this game plan of really, like, you know, using lateral movements to be able to, you know, to be able to make it problematic for people. She was going to come down to fight ready to train in the past, but it was never there. But does she have the skills? 100%.
So did you just say you would like to see Norma get the victory over Irene?
Just because we need new blood, dude. And obviously
need
there's a
new
personal
blood. It's Mexican Independence Day, bruh.
And there's a connection here. You know what I'm saying? But you're right, dude. Like Irene is maybe more likely. She is favored. She does have heavier hands. And if this girl plays it to the game, then it's not going to be good for a girl like Norma. But if she's able to make the weight correctly and use her lateral movements, the same thing as what I'm saying, because these are typically heavy strikers, Kamaru, is they have a stable. You know what I mean? You gotta be able to beat that rhythm. But if Norma cannot do that, then it's gonna go on Irene. But if she's able to do that, she, you know, she has hands of her own.
She does. But I'm gonna go with you're going with Norma?
Sure.
Okay, you're gonna go with Norma. I'm gonna go with Irene or Irene. But, I mean, I can see here, I can see what UFC, I can see what Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, and Dana White, and Hunter, I see what you guys did here. I'm looking through this card, and I'm looking at some of these guys that you have on this card, some of these men and women you have on this fight card, and I'm going, okay, now I see what they did. You guys tried to put on a highlight reel of fights. You've got Ignacio Bahumandez taking on Manuel Torres. You've got, oh my, that's a banging fight. Banging fight. Another striker's delight. You've got Yasmin, who's one of my new favorites. I love watching this young lady fight. I mean, she is phenomenal fighter, phenomenal striker, just all around well-rounded fighter. So you've got her fighting as well. That's a banging fight. You've got freaking Edgar
Berlanga.
No, not Edgar Berlanga. That's across the street, Henry. They have T-Mobile. That's across the street. They're fighting as well, taking on Kevin Borjas. And of course, you've got first fight of the night. You've got Raul Rosas Jr. is the first fight of the night, taking on my man only has one name.
AQ Ali Tang.
What?
Yeah, we call him AQ out in our gym. I can't even pronounce that thing.
Oh, this guy trains with you.
Yeah, this guy trains out here.
Okay, so let's break down this quick fight. This is the last one. Let's break that down. What you think? You know Rosas is going to try to get a hold of you. He's going to try to get on your back, and he's going to try to end the fight. What you thinking?
Yeah, well, I think AQ could I got AQ winning, so we can do that. How about that? How about that for the egg?
I got you.
I think the biggest thing is no, I'm talking about overall, like everything. You know? If Yuri got your picks, I got my picks. You know, I'll go for AQ. Whoever it is that wins the majority of our picks, just wins the freaking, gets that, gets a chance to watch the other person crack that egg on the head. So I'll go AQ, dude. I feel confident. The dude's ready, dude. He has a bunch of losses, but he's ready.
Why you had to throw that in there? AQ, my man, I know you're going to have a great fight. Raul Rosas, I think, is a very dangerous opponent, but that just shows how stacked this card is. From start to finish, the UFC has stacked this card, and I think it's going to be a fantastic event. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like on screen when we're watching at home or even in the arena. So UFC 306, we will have Merab Dulashvili on with us later on in the show. But first, Henry, let's thank our sponsors at Underdog Fantasy. The easiest place to play fantasy sports. This is a big weekend in fight for fight fans all across the board, because we've got, of course, at this fierce Sean O'Malley taking on Merab Dulashvili. And then you got across the street, you've got Canelo Alvarez, my boy now, taking on Edgar Berlanga. Of course, Underdog is hooking it up all week long. Today is More Money Monday. All users will get two 20% profit boost tokens to use on their pick'em entries. So you know where to go, Underdog Fantasy. And as always, their pick'em game is as easy as choosing higher or lower on a variety of fighter stats, just like takedowns, significant strikes, knockouts, or even submissions.
You know, Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, New York, and Florida. Use code P4P when you sign up to support the show. Click the link below to get started.
Now, Henry, obviously we spoke with Edgar Berlanga and we spoke with Canelo Alvarez last week. Judging by just now, we've kind of let that air out a little bit. We saw them. They were still deep into training. We see the energy come through on screen, to where even Canelo, his energy, he's just chilling. Get ready to go back to training. And he does the interview with us. And then we have Edgar Berlanga, who is, I felt like he was kind of almost pacing. He was ready to go the whole time. So now you've got to see their energies, and you've kind of let it air out a little bit. How are you feeling about that fight?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, dude. I tell you what, man, Edgar Berlanga, he's looking good in shape, dude, but it's gonna take man. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the upset, because he's a young cat. He's a beast. He's from the Bronx, New York. I would love to see him, but man, against a guy like Canelo, man, that's composed, that it's his day. I mean, it's like, September 16th is the biggest Mexican holiday. Like, to us Americans that think of Cinco de Mayo like the biggest thing, is like in Mexico, it's what it is, man. It's their actual Independence Day. So the Canelo's just too experienced, man. But I hope we see a good fight. I would love for this fight to go the distance, but completely just see a war, man. You know, but Berlanga really hasn't been tested with the highest competition. And that's what kind of leans me more towards. I mean, obviously Canelo, it's obvious that he's a huge favorite.
Well, you don't know until you know. And it, like we've mentioned, for a contender or for a challenger going into a fight with the champion, you don't know until you know. You have that dream in your head. They have that big picture in your head of something that you think could come true. But it's still an illusion in your head until you go out there and you prove it to yourself and you prove it to everybody. So we're going to be looking for Edgar Berlanga to shock the world and prove that to himself, that he truly is the one to dethrone pound for pound king Canelo Alvarez. But I will be watching. I'm going to be in Vegas. You're going to be in Vegas for that. So I don't know here. I'm torn whether I'm going to the UFC or whether I'm going to see Canelo. So I'm still kind of trying to figure out where I'm going to be at, but I will be watching both fights. I think it's going to be a phenomenal weekend. It's a fight fan's dream. And as always, you know, Vegas is fight capital of the world. So, hey, I'll be watching. Brought to you by Riyadh Season, UFC 306, Noche at the Sphere, and Edgar Berlanga taking on Canelo Alvarez at the T-Mobile Arena. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, Henry. I'll be watching. You watching?
Oh, I'll be there.
Canelo, Berlanga, O'Malley, Dillashvili, this weekend. Make sure you're tuned in. As always, I'm the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C. I think it's limp. I think it's limp.
Pause. We out.